It's time now to get behind the headlines of this week's Hendersonville Lightning with editor and publisher Bill Moss.
Good morning and welcome to Lightning Radio. The Hendersonville Lightning is on the streets. The Hendersonville Lightning is in your mailboxes if you're smart and you have a subscription. And the Hendersonville Lightning is on the radio as we get behind the headlines with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning at HendersonvilleLightning.com. Bill, we haven't talked about this yet, but I wanted to ask you, do you have any information about the boil water advisory that is in your neighborhood? Apparently there's a boil water advisory right around in the Kingwood right around that area.
Okay, King Chris is on top of the ridge above me.
Yeah.
No, I do not.
I had a call this morning.
I shouldn't have drank that cup of coffee this morning.
Well, sorry about that. I had a call this morning about it that someone got an email last night. And typically, we'll get the press release, and I hadn't gotten that yet. So, sorry, I didn't mean to ask you.
It's almost the end of the line of the city of water. The city of Hendersonville sewer system.
Yeah.
It goes down one more subdivision. To the cobblestone development, but no, we'll check that out. Don't know what that's about.
Yeah, we'll
that's water. We'll do that's the same that's water going up a hill, though.
Yeah,
tell you that right now.
Yeah, that's never a good idea. Hey, Bill, it is. Well, guess what? Guess what we're having this weekend? The 75th. I say annual, but we didn't have it last year. The 75th Apple Festival, North Carolina Apple Festival, is happening this weekend.
Absolutely. There's a lot to cover with the Apple Festival. Just walk outside right now if you'd like, or look out your window. You can see the weather. The weather you're seeing right now is what we are going to have, I think, throughout.
We will.
Sunny and dry. It's going to feel drier. Low humidity. It's that taste of fall. It's why the whole wide world wants to move here and live here. It's that weather, whatever you want to call it. We want to bottle it and save it and use it year round.
Yeah.
But that is true. Nice weather. Usually that that would suggest big crowds.
Yeah,
but
sure
that's
would.
A little bit of an issue this year, and that's the topic of our lead story in the September 1st Volume 10, Issue 20 of Hendersonville Lightning.
And you say, and you know, the headline says it all, nice weather, 75th anniversary, can't mask challenges for festival. And those challenges are it's a number of challenges.
They're real. It's something people, particularly everybody, really. If you're going to go home, if you have any kind of medical vulnerability, or if you are going to go out to this and then be around a spouse, a child, certainly an older person, and anybody with the compromised immunity kind of issues, to be sure. So if you'd like to hear about it, we can kind of tell what the festival is doing as a precaution, not a whole lot, frankly, and then what our director of public health, who hasn't had hardly an hour off now for, 18 months, he says people ought to do as they go.
Yeah, please do.
Okay,
please.
So it is on. So it's going to start 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. It won't start at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning with the Pancake Festival, by the way.
Exactly.
One of the decisions made that is apart from the decision made to have the festival, which we were just talking before we went on air. That and the Mountain State Fair decision, those were made probably before we even heard of the Delta variant of the coronavirus. So that makes it's more highly contagious than the old version. So, you could get sicker from it. The festival director tells the Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com that we're going to tell vendors to do what they can to protect themselves, their staff, and attendees. Makes sense. The booths aren't going to be separated any farther apart than they were before. However, they will have, this is a good thing, free masks to those who want them. Anytime where you see Apple Festival swag, like t-shirts, well, if you don't have a mask and want one, go there and they'll hand you one.
Yep.
Or you can buy, it'll be a logo face mask that you can buy along with t-shirts and other Apple Festival swag at those places. Hand sanitation stations. And wipes will be set up conveniently. People can see those as they walk up and down Main Street. And another thing we've done, Nicholson Tells the Lightning, is we cut off entertainment at 8 o'clock.
Right.
In the past, they've had headliner shows.
Till 10:30 or so.
Yeah, people liked. They were popular. It was nice weather later in the evening, you know, because we've had a lot of really hot days. We're not this year, but when we've had hot days, people said, well, let's wait till after sunset in the shadow behind the historic courthouse. It'll be much cooler.
Yeah.
And that made for some big crowds, you know, eight till 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And that's gone. It ends at 8. Maybe that will have the effect of smaller crowds. Who knows? You know, maybe it will be not much to worry about and there won't be that many people, or maybe everybody will be very careful. That one thing they did move was move the opening ceremony to, we're saying 4 o'clock, just to be on the safe side. Not sure that's the reception
time. It's either 4 or 4:30.
Begin to congregate by 4 for the opening ceremony of, it is, after all, the 75th. So I'm sure they'll say a lot of neat things about the Apple Festival enduring for these many years. At 10 o'clock in the morning, Nicholson said, never was much of a crowd. We put on a big event and nobody shows, so it's our 75th, and we wanted to do something a little bit different. So later in the afternoon, again, they're catching a break there because they're going to have great weather all day long. There won't be an issue of, oh, it was too hot, and they should have had it in the morning. So under the subhead now, as we turn to precautions, a subhead says, party like it's 2019.
Uh-huh.
So we had to call the director of public health, and he says, yeah, he's hearing this from around the region. It's not only the Apple Festival. Steve Smith tells the Lightning. I was talking to other health directors. We've got Tryon Equestrian Center having events and even got the Mountain State Fair moving forward. I guess they all share the advantage of being outside, so that's certainly helpful. So I can read some of the actual detailed suggestions that Mr. Smith tells us, particularly when you're in a crowded situation like that with lots of people, it's going to be very difficult to maintain any kind of physical distance. I would not recommend people attend these events if they have high-risk health conditions, whether they are vaccinated or not. Those are just not ideal circumstances for them, and there is a risk of exposure in those kinds of settings, particularly when you go, there's picnic tables or four-top tables around where you're getting your alligator on a stick.
And your corn dog.
Your turkey leg or that great plate of French fries that the Edneyville family makes.
Uh-huh.
When you're chowing down, he says it makes a point. Street fairs and midways, quote, have great vendors with foods that we all want to try, but you're not going to be able to wear a face covering when you're doing that. So that's one of the most important times to make sure you're separated from other people, in particular, if you're sitting across the table. So be careful in that situation as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's urging caution, and then we go on to talk about the apple crop.
I was going
to
ask about that. That's another one of the challenges this year is a little. We have apples. There are apples. So don't not go to support our orchards. Because you think there are no apples. We do have apples, just not as many.
Exactly. We asterisk all the discussion about the apple, the short crop, with there will be apples both at the Apple Festival and at the apple stands out in the county.
Yeah.
The U-Pick orchards.
Yep.
Not as much U-Pick as in the past, to be sure, but there will be apples because they're buy from one another if they have to.
Yeah.
And the vendors, the 14 vendors that sell apples and apple pies and one of my favorites, fried apple pies and apple turnovers and apple slushies and apple everything on Main Street will have apples to sell. Make no mistake about it. And I've already bought apples this year. They're great. The ones I got were Fuji's and Galen's. I had heard Fuji's were so wiped out that there weren't any. But they're Fuji's, even Honeycrisp, which is always in great demand.
Yeah.
I see signs that there is Honeycrisp. So, yes, apples. But are there lots of apples to send to Food Line and Ingles and Publix this year? No. There's about a 70-80% wipeout of apples. So that's another challenge, really. Not necessarily of the festival, but of our apple farmers that this festival exists to salute.
Exactly. So, Bill, let me ask you this. Was it just the early apples that got hit? Are we going to be will we be better off with some of the later apples? Well, have you talked to any?
And intuitively you think that, but I've had discussion with farmers and said it depends on the stage. You can have a later apple that just it takes longer to mature.
Yeah.
And it could so it's not necessarily we think of the Johnna Golds and the Galas and some of the other early varieties that it's just them, but that's not necessarily true. I always thought it was until recent years when I've learned more. Unfortunately, through covering freezes,
right.
that you have some later apples that are much longer maturing, so they could have been in the same vulnerable condition as a Gala and other, other August picking, August harvest kind of crop.
Okay, that makes sense. It's never been explained to me that way. That makes total sense.
And then before we leave the whole story about the short crop and the Apple Festival and mask and be careful. I'll just read the benediction of Mr. Steve Smith. At the end of the day, he said, I just want people to be safe and don't want them to be burdened with a serious illness or a condition that they might convey to other people that they love or care about.
Yeah. Bottom line. So speaking of Apple Festival, as usual, the Hendersonville Lightning has your Apple Festival tab that is included in this week's Lightning.
Yeah, let's just go to the fun part. We have a great front that, thanks to Harry's and Piggy's and their display, we probably shot this in 2019. We may even have shot it. I think they had it up last year. I think they first put it up in 2019. And that is, we got 16 Apple logos starting in 1990 and through probably 2 years ago. That's the cover of it. R.J.N. Chapin, news designer, did a great job cropping all those. So you can see the Apple logos on the Apple t-shirts for these past more than 30 years. And then on the front page, we just talk about the foot races are back. So if you want to do that on Saturday morning, the 8K, the Team Challenge 5K, and the Chick-fil-A Mini Moo is coming again. We republish our wonderful profile of Apple Ambassador Callie Stepp McCall, showing her driving a tractor out there at Stepp's Hillcrest Orchard. Mm-hmm. That is another you pick. Nice retail and fun operation with Apple and everything Apple, including the Apple Cannon. That'll be open. Callie will probably be out there working. Well, when she's not being Apple Ambassador, which she'll mostly be doing this Labor Day weekend. And we show her with her air rifle. She was in that national competition. Our team went out to Nebraska and competed in. And then we got the Apple Festival schedule, just everything, the Apple recipe, the street fair, the Apple taste testing. There's a change. The Apple recipe contest this year moves to Jackson Park. That used to be like in the 500 block, yep. I think it was, yep. Of Maine. So look for that. The Apple taste testing, that is back in the 500 block. So look for that. Heritage Museum is open with displays. You can see our advertising partners really came through with a lot of nice ads. Check those out as well. Sidewalk sales, Mineral Lapidary Museum, Gem and Mineral Show. The Air Museum has an open house all weekend long. The Laurel Park Village sidewalk sales. I think y'all promote that a lot.
We'll be out there broadcasting live on Saturday. And, of course, they've got their British Car Club of Western North Carolina will be there on Saturday as well with a car show.
Correct. And a nice two-page spread on pages facing pages 20 and 21. Excuse me, a double truck of every bear, the name of the bear, the artist, the nonprofit that it benefits, and the sponsor.
That is a great addition to the Apple tab, to be able to see all these bears in two pages and have the explanations of them and all. And what a great success the Barefoot and Bears have been. Yeah. And the dollars that they have raised for our area nonprofits and for our downtown historic district.
Yeah, it's in its 19th year. Can you believe that?
Wow.
19th year of bears. We had the apples 1 year.
Yep.
And I think we had goats 1 year.
We had goats 1 year. We had apples 1 year.
And bears have been by far the most popular.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, look, there's some big news here about the Tales in Town.
Yes.
You're relocating.
Tales in Town is relocating. Tales in Town will be on Main Street this year in November. The second week of November, during one of those, as you like to say, streets closed but are open. Yes.
Open Streets Weekend.
Open Streets Weekend.
Don't bring your dictionary.
Exactly. Yes, and of course that is Hendersonville's only pet-centric event. Every other event in downtown Hendersonville, they say leave your pets at home. Tales in Town is bring your pets with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of bring your pets with you, also the weenie races are supposed to be back.
Oh, Oktoberfest.
With Southern Appalachian. I'm taking my Callie. She's my pup. I'm taking Callie to the race this year.
Excellent.
Callie can race.
I bet she can. I bet she can.
She's a fast animal.
I will see you there.
Yeah. So that's it. That's Southern Appalachian Brewing Company. That's also a chain. It's going to expand beyond the borders of Southern App, and it's going to be out on Locust Street. So bring your weenie dog or other dogs. There's many other mutts and animals that compete.
Yeah.
Didn't have it last year, of course, so look for that. Oktoberfest, Saturday, September 25.
Now, the big fiesta, the big Hispanic fiesta that's downtown every year, that has been canceled.
I heard that on NPR yesterday.
Yeah, that has been canceled, not just here, but I think elsewhere in western North Carolina. Speaking of the breakfasts, you mentioned the Kiwanis Pancake Breakfast. That has been canceled this year. The Lions Club always did a Saturday morning breakfast. That is not happening this year, but the Elks Club is having their Sunday breakfast.
They list the Elks. I was going to take a chance and say the Elks because they do list, and as far as you know, and right, it's on.
It's happening. We've been giving away tickets, so happening.
And that, which morning is that?
That's Sunday.
Okay. Right.
That's Sunday till noon, from 7 a.m. until noon, so that is on. All right. We got more news coming up, and especially about the Stroop trial. That's coming up here on Lightning Radio with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com.
Kaysen Builder Supply, the official sponsor of patio season, providing quality landscape and masonry materials, exceptional customer service, and superior delivery from locations in East Flat Rock, Brevard, and Greer. Now is the time to prepare for patio season with a visit to Kaysen Builder Supply in East Flat Rock to see displays of outdoor rooms, pavers, retaining walls, and fire pits. Kaysen Builder Supply, providing exceptional service for over 40 years. The official sponsor of patio season. KaysenCompaniesInc.com.
We know you love the Rhythm and Brews concert series. Well, now you can enter to win special access to the Rhythm and Brews Superfan Sponsor Tent. The prize includes exclusive access for two for one of the upcoming shows, plus two season t-shirts, beer and wine, and snacks from Moe's Barbecue throughout the event. Entering is easy. Just head to WTZQ.com and sign up. Five winners will be chosen the week leading up to each of the next shows. So go to WTZQ.com right now and enter to win your space in the Rhythm and Brews Super Fan Sponsor Tent. No purchase necessary.
Jay Egoff, Egoff Motors and Brevard with us. Jay, a lot of businesses are dealing with inventory problems right now, but you have ways around that.
Well, thanks for having me back, Mark. Egoff Ford, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram used in Brevard. Yes, we've hired another used car manager. We have two used car people. They're combing. We have 9-10 sources. We look every single week, probably two a day. You got to find the right car. You got to find the right price. And to do that, you need to know the market. And we seem to do a great job of that. Business is great. And anybody can go to an auction, hold up a hand, but we don't want to do that. We got to get the right car at the right price.
It's all about knowing the needs of the community and being able to fill
those
needs.
Yep. And being there for 50 years, I'm third generation, but being in Western North Carolina for 50 years, we know what sells. We know what doesn't sell. We know our customers. So we're glad to help.
And how do we find out more?
Again, thank you. It's eGolfMotors.com. We're Ford, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram over in Brevard, 20 minutes away.
And we're back with Bill Moss for Lightning Radio here on the Q as we get behind this week's the headlines of this week's Lightning. Well, Bill, it's been all Apple Festival and all Apple Festival tabs so far. Let's get down to some of the harder news now. One of the big things to come out this weekend is from the Stroop murder trial. He takes a plea and gets life in prison.
That is what happened Tuesday morning in Henderson County Superior Court, where 4 years ago, remember, we had the massive manhunt, Philip Michael Stroop II. He got away from a traffic stop on foot. He ran into the Pisgah National Forest. Had that. It was right over 4th of July weekend. Remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Gigantic
very
traffic
well.
Jam, shut down everything. He got away from that. He got away from the forest. He got away from the manhunt. He got away from whatever checkpoints there was. There should have been more, people said. But he somehow got, he kind of followed a creek and went and found Thomas A. Tommy Brassen, checking his mail, it's thought. Checking his mail, got out of his pickup truck to check his mail on the way to take his sister, I think it was, to a medical appointment. And that's when he was kidnapped by Philip Michael Stroop II and later was killed. Tommy Bryson was in a cornfield. And he still had plenty of hunting and fishing, and time would go to his son's basketball games and his grandson's basketball games left to go. The family has been anguished over this thing for 4 years, of course. And,
yeah.
And this came about for a variety of factors. We can talk about the new district attorney who was appointed, Governor Cooper appointed district attorney Andrew Murray, used to be the Western North Carolina U.S. attorney, appointed him after Greg Newman was removed, and I think Andrew working with the family and thinking almost all this time that had gone by and COVID challenges and so forth. I can read a little bit about what the family said and what the prosecutor said about how they reached this.
Well, I do want you to do that, Bill, because you really enlightened me on that situation when you and I were talking. I first read the story and then I went on, I saw the Facebook comments about people who said things like, Tommy Bryson didn't get to take a plea deal. Why does he get this? Why does he, almost people upset that they feel like he got off light, even though it's life in prison. But you had a good perspective on that.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, Murray, he goes back, he does a good job in this long press release saying shortly after this murder happened, the district attorney's office looked at the case closely and I think really pretty quickly came to the decision, this is a capital murder.
Yeah.
It was heinous. It was,
yeah.
There's no redeeming factors in it at all. So he acknowledges Stroop's plea today allows him to avoid the death penalty while assuring he will never again have the opportunity to harm someone outside the confines of his lifelong prison walls. With the support of Bryson's family, that's what Mr. Murray says, the district attorney's office believes this is the best outcome for the family and the entire community. So let's go on and I'll continue to quote Mr. Murray. A plea prevents the family from reliving horrific details of their loved one's murder. A death penalty trial can take months to try in court, and with delays already caused by the pandemic and worsening COVID-19 conditions, which we've talked about today,
yeah,
it is unclear when the court could complete such a long trial without the threat of a mistrial due to COVID-19 exposure in the courtroom. And if a defendant is sentenced to death, surviving loved ones must endure the uncertainty of years and most likely decades of legal appeals that follow. The plea strictly limits Stroop's ability to appeal, and so considering all these factors, Mr. Bryson's family reached out to the DA's office after concluding they would prefer to extend unmerited grace to the defendant and ensure finality and closure for their family. So goes on, he understands that point of view, and his thoughts and prayers remain with Mr. Bryson's family.
Well, the bottom line is, just like you said, that this closes the book on it ultimately, because we've all been wondering. We've all wondered what was going to happen with this and why it's taken so long. So.
Right. And I do think he makes what looked like we say, in that window when it seemed like maybe we were going to leave COVID-19 and the pandemic behind.
Right. Remember those days?
They could have seen their way clear to seat a jury, have a trial that would go on for weeks and weeks, have witnesses and so forth. And now they see challenges even in seating a jury and having that long, difficult to endure trial. So
absolutely
chalk up another victim of COVID.
Yeah.
In a way.
Yeah, absolutely.
The justice system.
And thank you for covering that story. Let's go on to something a little more fun now, Bill. The Hendersonville Lightning always loves to cover food. And believe it or not, as difficult as it is to find employees, especially in restaurants, we've got a new restaurant opening. The Eggs Up Grill is now open in the old Harris Teeter Shopping Center. They're now open and running, aren't they?
They absolutely.
A couple Sundays
ago. It opened one day last week.
Yeah, Sunday.
It's open, yeah. 7 days a week, 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. This started down in Pawleys Island, and now there's a bunch of them now.
Yeah.
More than 30, I think it is, featuring classic all-American dishes along with twist on their traditional favorites. It makes eggs in 14 different ways.
Wow.
The menu starts with craveable bites, including muffin, avocado toast. That's a big fad, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Avocado toast.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's a big fad, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can remember having never heard avocado toast, and now that's all you hear. Yeah,
that's a pretty big markup.
Oh, sure.
A piece of bread. I mean, avocado is expensive, to be sure, but you're not getting a whole avocado. No, you just get a little avocado. Yeah,
nature's butter.
But we might like biscuits and gravy. We might like the Founder's hash and eggs, Southern staples.
Oh, yeah.
We might like the Homestead platter, 2 eggs, 4 slices of bacon, 4 pieces of sausage, and biscuit with a side of gravy. We might like the steak and eggs, muffin and eggs, slices, strips, and spuds, which is cinnamon swirls, French toast, bacon, and home fries. Everybody getting hungry yet?
I'm feeling it.
So, yeah. So that was a challenge, and how are they going to get help, right?
Well, and he did. Yeah. He was able to do it. Now, he comes, the manager, this comes from the Chick-fil-A, but he was a Chick-fil-A person for a number of years.
Oh.
And so that culture of employees and taking care of employees, that's something that he's brought with him. And I think it's probably easier to find people who are going to work in a restaurant business when it stops serving at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
They can still go pick up at the youngin.
Exactly.
Yeah, they can still pick up the youngin from school.
And be home to read and have dinner and all that sort of thing.
Yeah,
so kudos to him for that.
Yeah, that makes, or if you're an early riser, take that, you know, 6 to 11 shift or something like that. So exciting. I mean, they got a bunch of stuff. It's a diner like menu.
Yeah.
The lengthy breakfast menu also includes 5 breakfast sandwiches. It has, the lunch menu has 4 salads, 3 burgers, and 6 other sandwiches and wraps. Check it out. It's at 637 Spartanburg Highway. I think it'll do well. We've got some sort of boutique-y kind of breakfast joints, but this is, if you want traditional eggs, bacon, pancakes, and sausage, I think it'll be wide open.
Especially on that end of town.
Right.
On that end of town specifically.
And especially where parking, easy parking.
Is no issue at all.
Plenty of it.
Exactly. And stay tuned because the Breakfast Club with Mark and Paige will take place at Eggs Up Grill coming up here sometime in the next few weeks.
And you know what's also good about it? So you have that big steak and egg or hash breakfast. You better go next door to Planet Fitness after that.
Exactly. Workout.
Or you better have been at Planet Fitness for 2 hours before you go in there.
Exactly.
And have that big hoss breakfast.
Let's touch on a couple of more things, Bill, before we finish up. And that is the city council, I guess it was last year, that did these conversations with constituents, and they're continuing that.
Yeah, I think new members, the whole council has always been open, transparent, and willing to talk to the people. They're very good about doing that in public comment. Sometimes there's some pretty interesting dialogue. You're right there at the top of the council meeting. But I think with the new members, Lindsay Simpson was interested in this. Jennifer Hensley were the new members that said, hey, let's meet with the people.
Yeah.
I think it may go back further than that, but kind of sporadically. Now it seems like it's maybe more regularly scheduled in the council year. And so in addition to the ones, of course, I mentioned Mayor Voke and outgoing council member Jeff Miller and running for re-election council member Jerry Smith will also do council conversations. Check those out. Get your Hendersonville Lightning or visit hendersonvillelightning.com to see dates and locations for each of those appearances.
Absolutely. One more thing, Bill, that we haven't mentioned because this popped up this week, and this is very good news, I think. The Henderson County Health Department has reopened the vaccination clinic at the JCPenney, what was the old JCPenney location at the Blue Ridge Mall, and that is because of high demand, and I'm glad.
High demand and getting ready
for
shot 3, right?
Yep, booster shots.
Yeah, so that's really important, and that's sort of going out the door we came in. If you want to go to the Apple Festival, you really probably should get a shot and wear a mask. But it's good that people are seeing this threat. Again, it's more contagious. The household infection of the original COVID was like 20%. Now they're seeing household infection of an infected person going home to the house is more like 70-80%.
What What does that mean exactly?
Well, it means instead of if it's family of five, the chances are you would infect one other person. Now they're saying you go home and you probably infect four out of five family members.
Okay.
That's
wow.
what that means. It's the rate of.
Okay. I've been wondering about that. Okay.
Infectiousness, or it's the rate of contagion. I think.
Yeah.
But don't go. Talk to your medical doctor. Those that have concerns. One shot is no longer in emergency use authorization. Pfizer, right? It's FDA approved. Others may be. That may satisfy people a bit more. But that is all. That's all the advice. It's always the advice of Dr. Ellis of Pardee. It's always the advice of Steve Smith. It's the advice of county commissioners, who some of them have been unenthusiastic about promoting the vaccine, let's say. But they do say, make your own call and do talk to your medical provider.
Yeah. And at that facility, they are offering both Pfizer and Moderna. Walk-ins are welcome, but they also do suggest that you go to the Henderson County Health Department website where you can make an appointment if you can. But again, I was glad to hear that they were reopening that based on demand and based on, again, like we said, that booster shot number three coming at some point in time, which is not being offered right now. So make sure everyone knows that.
Here's another reason you may want to do it. I mean, we don't know. We just don't. The Delta variant has proved, if it's proved anything, it's proved we don't know what's next. And because we don't know what's next, if we get Lambda and they say, oh, that's even more contagious still, don't be for sure that the airlines might say you can fly if you can show proof of vaccination.
Sure, sure.
That a concert, and which some are doing, you can go to the Rolling Stones
Farewell number five tour.
Yeah, you can go to that this year and in 2025 with proof of vaccination. Yeah. So, really, that's the reason. I'm I've said, I'm getting to where I was doing my part. You know, I don't want to scare the older people than me. So wearing a mask now, I do it for selfish reasons.
Sure,
I don't want to get Delta.
No.
I don't want it.
I don't want it.
I'm vaccinated, but I don't want to get Delta.
I do not want it. And the bottom line is, again, we're also seeing that, you know, we kept talking about younger people not getting it. Well, younger people are getting it now. And the bottom line is, it is a virus and it will find hosts if hosts are available. That's the bottom line.
Oh, yeah.
It will, as long as there are hosts available, it will continue to try to thrive and find
hosts.
And
to be sure, younger people, to be sure, will have usually not, you know, won't be very sick. But you don't want to be you never want to be the exception to all this, oh, it's not that bad sort of theme. Because what if you're a long haul? You know, what if you get it and you're a long haul? You don't want that.
Yeah. So, again, bottom line, the Health Department Vaccination Clinic is now open and running 9 to 11:45, and then again from 1 to 4 p.m. every day, except on Labor Day coming up on Monday. And that is at the old JCPenney building at the Blue Ridge Mall.
And shout out to all the apple farmers, to all the first responders, to all the nurses, public health nurses in that JCPenney site.
Yeah.
And all the nurses everywhere and all the emergency operations center who has been busy with these storms. Shout out to all of them who are going to be recognized. Remember, we forgot to mention this in the King Apple Parade.
Right. So absolutely.
Spread out and wear your mask, but go out and cheer for those first responders as they march down Main Street at the tail end of this year's Apple Festival.
And if you go to this year's Apple Festival, please be sure to visit some of the 14 farmers and apple orchards and support them. Purchase apples, purchase apple slushies, whatever you can to support them. Bill, there is so much more in this week's Lightning. How can people get a copy of theirs?
By getting out in the nice weather and going all around the county to the Lightning Orange racks, or by going to hendersonvillelightning.com and clicking on subscribe, which walks you through how to join the growing legions of Lightning fans that get their Lightning today, Lightning Thursday, or an easy thing to do to get the Lightning coming in your mail on Thursday is to call Jan at 698-0407.
You've been listening to Lightning Thursday with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of the Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. This program, as well as past episodes, can be heard in their entirety on our website at WTZQ.com. Click on air and scroll down to Lightning Thursday.